Welcome to Wealthability, where we're always discovering how to make way more money and pay way less taxes. This is Tom Wheelwright, your host. What if you could deduct your car and part of your living expenses with no red flags? Today, you're going to learn how to use a home office to increase your car deductions without filing a home office schedule with your tax return. So, one of the questions I always ask when I'm speaking to a group of entrepreneurs and investors is, has anyone ever suggested to you that you not take a deduction? And normally about 80% of the hands in the room will go up. And then when I ask who told you not to take the deduction, 100% of the time it's their tax advisor. The next question, of course, is what deduction were you told not to take? And 90% of the time, that deduction was the home office. And the idea was, well, my accountant told me that if I took a home office deduction, this was a big red flag. The IRS, the government's going to come after me if I take a home office deduction. They're going to audit me and make my life miserable, and they're not going to allow it anyway. And on top of that, it's not a very big deduction. So why would you take that risk where you've got this big red flag sitting on your tax return, right? Here's your tax return. If you listen to these tax advisors, they'd say this big red flag is sitting there in the middle of your tax return because you took a home office deduction. So generally speaking, when we look at the tax law and we look at, so what's aggressive and what's conservative. So what they're saying is this is an aggressive deduction to take on your tax return. This is aggressive. When I look at what's aggressive and what's not aggressive, I take a little different view. Okay. They're saying it is always aggressive. I disagree. I look at any time, if this is your knowledge of the law, this is your knowledge, this is your understanding of the tax law. So here we have the entire tax law up here, right? This is the entire tax law right here, A to Z. And if you know that much about the tax law, then anything that you don't know is going to be aggressive. Right? Just like if you don't know how to parachute out of a plane, or you don't know how to bungee jump, or you don't know how to climb a mountain. Right? It would be very aggressive for you to do that. It's a lot less aggressive if you have a little more knowledge. So if your knowledge is over here, let's say that this is your knowledge, then what happens is at that point, everything from here to here is conservative. Everything that's within your knowledge base that you know that that's allowable is conservative. If you don't know if it's allowable, if you don't know the rules, if you don't know what you can do, that's an aggressive behavior. If you know what you can do, if you know what the outcome is going to be, if you know how to make the outcome work, that's a very conservative approach. And in doing your taxes and in reducing your taxes, that's a very important distinction, because even if it were the most obvious deduction in the world, if your tax advisor and you don't understand what the rules are, because there's always a rule, right? For example, let's say that your tax advisor tells you that business expenses are deductible and doesn't tell you what is the definition of a business expense and what makes it deductible. Then that's a very aggressive position to take any business expense, as a deduction, because there are certain documentation rules. There are certain rules for how often and how much and what the actual expense can be. So there are rules. The tax law is a series of rules. It's a code. It's called the Internal Revenue Code in the U.S. It's a code, and a code is a direction. A code is a direction. Follow this direction, and this will work for you. Follow this direction, and you will get this result. That's what a code always is. So in terms of the home office, we have to look at, what do we know about the home office deduction? Well, what we know is that in the U.S., the home office deduction is specifically allowed under Section 280 Cap A. That's where Congress has explained what's allowed for a home office deduction. So we have a specific code section to tell us what the rules are for the home office deduction. So first of all, what that means is that, number one, this is legal. If there are rules telling us how to do it, it's legal. Number two, this is an incentive. Because it's legal, it is now an incentive. It is an incentive to start your own business. That's the incentive. So many people, how do you best start a business when you don't have much capital to start with? You start it in your home. When I started my first CPA firm, I started in my home. It was the natural thing to do. I had extra space in my home. I had a living room. I actually had an extra bedroom. So I had my bedroom that I used for my home office, this extra bedroom, and then the living room is where I met with clients. Now, the living room didn't meet the test for home office, which I'm going to explain in a minute. The bedroom did. So I was able to take the bedroom and count it as a home office and get the home office tax benefits and not for the living room. So number two is, it's an incentive. Number three is, there are specific rules. There are specific rules to taking this deduction. Things that you must do in order for you to qualify for this tax benefit, for this incentive. So let's look at some of the rules in order to qualify for a home office. Number one, the first rule is, it must be a separate room or area. A separate room or area. So, for example, let's say that you have your living room. Okay, let's say, in fact, I'll draw a picture of mine here. So let's say you walk in the door here, right? Here's your door, right? And and here's kind of how this looks in my house. Okay. You walk in the house, and over here, okay, this is a living room space, and then over here, this is actually a dining room space, and this is a hallway right here. Okay, now I have a choice here. I could take the entire living room, and I could say, look, this right here, this whole thing, I'm going to make a home office. So I'm not going to do anything in there except office. Or I could say, you know what? I'm going to put a sofa right here, right? I'm going to put a sofa right here, and I'm going to put a TV right here, right? And then what I'm going to do is over here, I'm going to put a desk. Now, and I put a chair right here, okay? Now, the couch and the TV, this is living area. That's not home office. It has to be solely used for the office. But right here, I have this little space right here. And this little space is only used for an office, for example, okay? So you can have a portion of a room that is just used. It doesn't have to be an entire room. So that's rule number one. Rule number two is it has to be your principal place of business. Now, in the law, and I have a license to practice tax law, okay? That's my CPA license gives me the right to practice tax law, not any other kind of law, just tax law. In the law, every word is important. Every word is significant. In this case, the word I'm looking for, I have a place of business. The word I'm looking for is principal. What does principal mean? Now, obviously, if this is the only office I have, this will be my principal office. Everybody understands that, right? If this is my only office, this is my principal place of business. That's what we typically think of. However, back in the 1990s, there was a court case between a doctor and the IRS. And the doctor, his office where he met patients was the hospital. Now, he was independent. He wasn't an employee of the hospital. He went to the hospital, though, to do rounds. All of his patients were at the hospital. He had no place that he met patients other than the hospital. Well, you're going, well, wait a minute. That's his principal place of business. What he didn't have was any place to do administrative work. So he did all of his billing, admin. He actually did his dictation. All of that he did in his home office. Well, the IRS disallowed it. He took it to court and won. He took it to court and won. And then in 1997, because of that case, Congress changed the Internal Revenue Code to allow for a principal place of business where you might even have two offices, but where the principal place of business might be considered your home office, even though you have another office. In order to do that, though, you must meet very specific rules. One option is that this is where A would be, this is where you meet clients. Okay, so let's say that you meet with clients or patients in your home. All right, I still know doctors that have their doctor's office in their home, right? So you meet clients. That would, there's an or though, okay? Or, it's not and, it's or. Or, it is used for administration or management. It's hard to see that. I'll do it this way. Administration / management and no other office for administration and management. No other office. No other admin or management office. So you can see this came from that court case because that was the doctor's situation. Let's say, however, that you have an office where you meet with employees and you go there to meet with employees. However, you don't keep your computer there. You don't have space to do your administrative or management work there. You must do that out of your home office. Now, even though you have that office, you have a home office. And your home office is the principal place of business. So obviously, if you have multiple businesses, the easiest thing to do is your home office is for one business and the office of another business is where you, you know, your outside office. That's the easiest thing. And I've dealt with home offices in an audit. The client was not audited because of the home office. However, when they were audited, the home office came up and the IRS auditor actually told me, it would be easiest because this client was both a real estate investor, a professional real estate investor, and they had a business outside of that. Well, the auditor told me, she said, look, it would be way easier if you just claim this home office under the real estate business, because then we don't have to deal with, you know, having two offices and meeting this extra test of no other place to do management. So that's ideal. The reality is some of you have an office where you need to meet with employees or you need to meet with clients, and you really want to have a home office, and you want to have a home office because you need to be away from them in order to do the administrative and the management. Now, I will tell you, this is how I function. My home office is used for administrative and management. I do not have a computer or a desk that I use where at the office where my employees work and where my partner works and where the clients come. I do not have a space there to do administrative and management work. I tried it. It didn't work for me. So what I have there is basically a conference room where I can meet with people. So my office in my home is my principal place of business. This is where I do my administrative and management work. So I have multiple businesses, so that the other way to do it would be easy for me. On the other hand, I would also meet this test because I don't have an office to do the administrative and management work. I need that reserved for my employees. That's all the space there is, okay? So as long as I meet this, I have a separate room or area and a principal place of business where either I meet my clients or I do my administrative management work and there's no other administrative management office, I qualify for the home office. So then the question is, how much? Okay, So this is, now I have to look at percentage of home. The IRS says I have two choices. I can either use square footage, okay? So I can take my square footage of the home office compared to, divided by the square footage of the home in total. That's one of my options. The other is, assuming my rooms are similar in size, which is fairly common, where bedrooms, living room, they're not that much different. Okay, they're not that much different. Unless you have teeny tiny bedrooms and a giant living room, right? Then you can use number of rooms that you use for an office compared to number of rooms in the home. So obviously, if I just have a separate space like this right here, I'm not going to be able to use the rooms, right? I'm going to have to use the square footage because I don't even have a whole room. Whereas if instead this was my office and that was a whole room, I could just use number of rooms. For most people, if you do the math, and we always do the math, by the way, in our CPA firms, we always compare and we take the greater of the two. In most cases, number of rooms is going to be more. We don't typically include bathrooms or hallways because those are common areas. They're not rooms. Okay, so we're looking at what's the proportion of the house, and typically you might have 10 rooms in a house and one's used for a home office. That's 10%. Okay, whereas if the 3,000 square foot house, right, and each room is 200 square feet because you've got hallways and bathrooms, you're going to end up with more. Right? You're going to end up with a higher percentage if it's number of rooms. It's the way it works. So typically, more often than not, it's going to be number of rooms. Now, the next thing is we have to look at which expenses are allowable. What types of expenses that might otherwise be non-deductible are now deductible because we have a home office? Well, some of these are going to be obvious. Your office expenses, which whether you had a home office or not, would be deductible. Even if you had a space that you shared and you had a, let's say you had a printer in there and a computer, you didn't take the home office, you would still get the printer and computer if all they're used is for business, right? You don't have to have a home office to get office expenses. There are some things, though, you do have to have a home office for. Your mortgage interest or your rent. Right? What about your property taxes? Now, here's an interesting one. Property taxes and mortgage interest may be limited if you don't have a home office, right? There are limitations that you can only take so much. With respect to the home office, there's no limitation. The only limitation is it must be reasonable. Ordinary and necessary. That's it. Just got to be typical and necessary. So you can have as big as a building as you want if it's suitable for what you're doing. Also, what about utilities? What about maintenance? Right? Or cleaning? What about repairs that you do on the home as a whole? So obviously, if you do repair in the kitchen, that's not going to qualify. Whereas if you do a repair in the home office, it will be 100%. But you have general repairs. Now, a big question is always, what if we do landscaping? And this is, question mark. And the rule here is that the courts have held is that if we have clients coming to the office, then landscaping is probably okay. All right. I don't have clients coming to my office. Landscaping is not going to be okay. Right. If I have another office where I have clients come to, they don't come to my office. So landscaping is not okay. On the other hand, if you have if that is your office and that's where clients come, then guess what? That would be that then the landscaping would make sense. Now what we're going to do is we're going to take all of these and we're going to add them all up. So we're going to this is plus 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 maybe plus. Okay? And we're going to take all of these, we're going to add them up and we're going to multiply it by our home office percentage. Oh, there is one more thing, by the way. Let's not forget one of the most important ones. And that is we get to take depreciation. Now, here's something pretty cool. That depreciation number can actually be a pretty high number, right? So we're going to include depreciation in there, and the reason is because now in the U.S. we have there's bonus depreciation, so it's all of a sudden a much bigger number than it used to be. So all of this we multiplied the home office percentage, and that is our that's our deduction. This is our home office deduction. Now we come to this red flag issue. Is this going to be a red flag? That depends on how we report it. So let's go next to reporting. Now this is where it gets interesting. If you report it on your personal tax return, you are likely, you're going to report it on your personal tax return. Now remember, you can only have a home office if you have a business. So a business has its own schedule. In the U.S., it's a Schedule C. Or if it's a real estate rental business, it is a Schedule E. That's where it's reported. There's also another form, though, that you have a home office form. Okay? You have a home office form. Here's what's interesting. This is now, if you put it here, is it highlighted to the IRS? Absolutely. There is a separate line item for it. What makes me laugh is that the bigger red flag is having a Schedule C or having a Schedule E. Those are bigger red flags than having a home office deduction. If you have a Schedule C or Schedule E, all you have is if you look at your financial statements, right, we typically have two primary financial statements. We have the income statement, income and expense, and then we have balance sheet, which is asset and liability. If you report on a Schedule C or a Schedule E, you have no balance sheet. You only have, this is just an income statement. Well, there's no check and balances for the government to know, did you do this right? You have no balance sheet. So that's a red flag. They're going, we don't trust you. By having a Schedule C or a Schedule E, you're opening yourselves up to a bigger red flag than any kind of deduction you take on that Schedule C or that Schedule E. In fact, it's thought that it's about a five times greater chance of being audited if you have a particularly a Schedule C, right, than if you don't have a Schedule C. So what's your alternative? Well, we have all sorts of other entities, don't we? We could have a partnership. We could have a corporation. We could have a C corporation or an S corporation. We could have a limited partnership or a general partnership. We have all sorts of other options here. So you want to avoid the red flag. I'm all for avoiding red flags. To begin with, though, you have to choose a different entity. Now, let's say that you've got a partnership or an S corporation. These are what we call flow-through or pass-through entities. I'll call them pass-through because that's what we're hearing all the time. This is a pass-through, and this is a pass-through, which means that the tax benefit is on your personal tax return. So the tax benefit for any particular deduction goes to your tax return because you're paying all the taxes on the income, the net income from the business. How do you report if you have a partnership or an S corporation? How do you report? Let's go back here. Let's go to reporting. On a partnership or an S corporation. There is no separate schedule in the partnership tax return or the S corporation tax return for a home office. And here's the reason. Who's incurring the expense? I mean, who's actually paying the mortgage? Who's actually paying the utilities? Who's paying the maintenance? The person who's paying it is the partner, is the owner. We'll just call him the owner, right? The person paying is the owner. Well, it's not the owner's expense, right? They're paying it, but it is an expense of the partnership or the S corporation because there, it's the partnership and the S corporation that are using the office in your home. So what we have to do is we have to get reimbursed. By the partnership or the S corporation. So at the end of the year, we add up all of our costs, all of our expenses of the home office. We take the percentage and we submit an expense reimbursement report. Just like any other employee would for any expense, let's say they take a client out to for dinner and you okay it, then they submit an expense report and you and the company reimburses them, right? We've all done that as employees. Well, you're an employee of your S corporation or you're a member of your partnership, so you can be reimbursed for expenses. This is, by the way the IRS requires it to be done. It's required here. So when you're reimbursed on the income statement, when it's paid out, it's deducted as office expense. There's no form. There's nothing that says it's a home office expense. It's just office expense. So, of course, there's no red flag because every business has office expense. Where's the red flag? By changing your entity form and then accounting for your home office expense the way the IRS wants you to account for it, you've eliminated a red flag. Now, if the IRS were ever to audit your partnership or S corporation, and they looked at office expenses, they might ask the question, is this a home office? And then you would say, yes, it is. And here's my documentation for the home office. And why don't you come on over and I'll show you my home office. Okay. So it's no big deal. Point is, it's not a red flag on your tax return because there's nowhere to report it on your tax return as a home office, unless you're a Schedule C or a Schedule E. This is why I don't like Schedule, that's one of the reasons, one of many, that I don't like a Schedule C or a Schedule E. Now, there is another benefit to the home office that I rarely hear anybody else discuss. The benefit of an automobile deduction. And you're going, what in the world does an automobile deduction have to do with the home office? And I'm going to walk you through that right now because it has everything to do with it. So let's say you have your home over here, okay? And every day you're going to take a trip over to your office, right? Here's your business office, and you take a trip to your business office, or you take a trip over here to see your rental properties, right? So your business or your rental properties, you're take a trip. That first trip that you take, boom, 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 or boom, 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 is called a commute. And that commute is considered a personal expense, non-deductible. Well, why does that matter? Well, you're driving, right? This is your car that you're driving. Right? You're driving this car. That's a car, not a bicycle. So you're driving this car. Well, you get to deduct your car deduction equals the mileage, business mileage, divided by your total mileage is the percentage of your car expenses that you get to deduct, including depreciation. That's your percentage. So let's say that your commute is, so let's add up these different expenses. So by the way, the last trip home, also a commute. So let's say you go to, you start out going to your rental properties and then you go to your business. Okay, so I'm going to draw this. Okay, now you're going to go to your business, right? So this one right here, that's a commute. This one over here is a commute, and this one's business. Because now you're going between. So let's say that your drive out to your rental property is 30 miles. And your drive from your rental property to your business is 20 miles. And your drive from your business back home is 40 miles. Okay? This is 20 and this is 40. Okay. How much business mileage do I have? I have 20 miles divided by a total of 90 miles. Okay, which is, you know, made this math easier, but it's about 20, let's call it about 25%. Now, what happens if I have a home office where I do all my administration and all of my management, and it's in this little corner of my office here. This is my home office. All right, and my kitchen's over here. Here's my kitchen. So I get up in the morning, I go in the kitchen, make breakfast, get ready, make breakfast, and then what I do is right here is my commute. Because what I'm doing is, first thing in the morning, is I'm doing administrative management work first thing in the morning, which, by the way, is very good business practice. Then what happens is I go up to, from my home office, and then I go from here, and now this is no longer commute. This is business. And then when I come home at night, what do? I stop in my home office and I do administrative and management work to finish out the day. Also, good business practice. Okay, let's get things wrapped up. So this is no longer a commute. So now, what I've done during the day is, of that 90 miles, 90 miles is business, and now this is exactly 100%. Now, that doesn't mean that every day is going to be 100%. You may have to go to the grocery store or whatever, and you may use your car on the weekend for date night or taking the kids around, whatever. So you're not going to necessarily end up with 100%. I guarantee you, you will end up with a lot more than if you didn't have the home office. So the idea is to increase the business percentage use of your car. And you do that with a home office. And this is, by the way, there is an IRS ruling on this that says that this is how it works. So again, does that sound aggressive to follow what the IRS tells you to do? The answer is no. You have to know that ruling's there. Your tax advisor has to have read this and understood the law that says you can have two offices as long as you make this your principal place of business. So, as I always like to say, if you want to change your tax, you must change your facts. So what have we done? By adding a home office, we changed our facts. And we completely changed our tax. And that's what happens when you have a greater understanding of the tax law. And remember what we've done here. We have good business practice. We've done our administrative work in the morning before we left, so we were tight on our business. We've done our administrative work at home when we come back, so we're done. We're complete for the day. We've not left things for the weekend or whatever. We do it every single day. That's the rule. You have to do it. So the tax law is encouraging us and, in fact, practically forcing us to do business the way it should be done. If you did not have a home office, the very first thing you would do when you went to your business would be to take care of emails, administrative, etc. And the last thing you did before you went home is you would clean that up. Now you're just going to move where you do that from your client business location to your home office business location. And by doing so, we've not only taken a home office deduction for all of those different expenses, right? Not landscaping, because we don't have clients coming, but utilities, mortgage interest, property taxes, maintenance, repairs, depreciation. All of these things we're taking a tax deduction for in our home office, and we just increased our tax benefit for our automobile. And that's why I like to say, when you really start to understand the tax law, you will make way more money and pay way less tax. See you next time.